Blog Talk Radio.
Big Red.
What's up, Brother B? What's going on?
Not much, lady. What's going on with you?
What's up? How's everything going? I'm good. I'm okay. Had it smell like our grandmother's house today.
Hold on. What up, everybody? What up? What's poppin'? Another episode of The Menu. It is Big Red and Brother B, The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. What's going on, everybody? Hope all is well.
What's good, everybody?
Hope you're enjoying life, and if you're not, listen, trust me, you're in prayer. Keep it positive, as always. Now, hold on.
Right.
Get back to Big Red. What are you talking about? You had smelling like what? What was you cooking?
It was smelling like our grandma's house. I was making cabbage with the she used to make the cabbage with the, like, the kielbasa sausage in it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, kielbasa. Yeah.
It was smelling. Woo.
Once again.
Why you?
I have a problem with this because you talking this talk, but it's not like you say, yo, come through for a plate, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just did this, and then you're telling me after. Like, there's probably
our time schedules is crazy, but I'm just saying, listen.
You know,
listen.
It's probably one leaf of cabbage and a half of kielbasa, a slice of kielbasa just left
a little piece
in the pot.
And meaty the cat
probably gonna eat that right there. So I mean, what's the deal?
The only person you gotta worry about with that is you know, the youngest boy there, your youngest cousin. He gonna probably eat it up, but otherwise than that, it'll stick around for a little bit. I came out the bathroom. I said, "Hey, wait a minute, smell like grandma house up in here."
Listen to everybody listening. Do you see how family get down? They don't tell you. See, years ago, when family was family, they would say, "Hey, what you doing today? Well, come on, though, I'm cooking and this, that, and third." But now they tell you after.
Everything done,
facing the sink. And, I made some, I put my foot in it. Like, what? You telling me now?
Oh,
like,
God.
You telling me now?
Oh, God.
But it's all good. That's how family will do you. They'll turn around and say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, stop that mess.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
I could have done
like,
man, what am I going to eat today? And I could have got a phone call, but of course I ain't get no phone call. I just, waited. You waited till now, and just was like, yeah, this is what happened.
She gonna tell me it smell like grandma house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, give me a chance to smell it too. I smell that too.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I see you had a nice day.
You had a nice day.
Yeah,
all right, so next time I make it, it smells like grandma's house, I'm going to call you, okay? God.
Yeah, listen, I get off of work. Usually, I ain't go to work last night, but I get off work like 7 in the morning. So I come over there in the morning, take a nap on the couch, and then boom. I wake me up. Because that's how I usually go. It's like Folgers, just in reverse. It's with food. Instead of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
I'm,
God.
Let me smell the cabbage, please.
Right? Let me get the smell.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Thank God.
He's a banger.
Anywho. Yeah. I gotta speak on something real quick. I think I spoke on already, but apparently I just gotta speak on it again.
All right.
Pedestrians. I understand there are certain rules and laws, and some of you guys feel that you are superior to people in cars. But understand this. Unless you have a license plate on your ass and a registration sticker on your forehead, keep your ass out of the street. Except if you're crossing, that's one thing. But
if
you're not
crossing, got the right of way to cross, now that's different.
Yes. Yeah, true. If you got the right of way to cross, then cross. Get it? You can walk in the street all you want. But if you don't have the right of way and you just in the street, or you just feel that the sidewalk is too good for you, so you'd rather just stand in the street, when shit happens, don't get mad. Because, see, some of y'all seem to think that, oh, well, if you hit me, I'm going to get paid. First of all, you have to still be around to get paid. That's number one. Number two, I don't know if you want to get a check and maybe be in a wheelchair or lose a limb or something like that, because money don't replace a body part. You know what I'm saying? Like, too many times I'm starting to see pedestrians seem to think that it's okay to cross the street. Or that they don't want to run. They don't want to do the gazelle move. But I've seen one situation where this dude, the light turned green. It's like he waited for it to turn green, and then he stepped into the street right in front of a car, and the car slammed on his brakes. Then he turned around and put his hand up to the car, like, to tell the car to stop. Like, he had, like, the pedestrian had the right of way, and just crossed the street. And, like, ran across the street, and there was other cars coming, too. Listen, like I said, unless you got a license plate on your ass and a registration sticker on your forehead, you need to, like, pay attention to what you're doing and how you're doing it. Like, don't just think that, like, these cars are heavy. They will hit you, and they will hurt you.
They don't get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately,
they
do not get that.
Yeah, these cars hurt. I mean, I've never been hit by a car, and I really don't want to get hit by a car either. A 2-ton vehicle? No, that's okay.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, like, don't take chances. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are starting to take too many chances that they really don't need to take with their lives. And I'm just like, I don't understand why. Maybe you just don't love yourself. So if that's the case, then, like, slam your head into a wall or stick it in the toilet and just keep continually flushing. But do not think that, like, if you jump in front of somebody's car, cross the street, like, you messing it up for everybody. That's some real selfish junk, like, to think, like, you're not invisible. So just walking out into the street is just stupid. Or I love those people who stand, instead of standing on the sidewalk, they stand in the street. And we're not talking about 1 foot off the sidewalk. Like, they stand in, like, 5 to 7 feet off the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Off the sidewalk. And then they turn around and they wonder why cars are honking and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, why do you think they're honking? It's just so you get your ass out the way. Like, I don't
care. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense at all. But, yeah, that's my thing. I don't really understand it, but it's okay. So,
they'll have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, people, why play with your life? Why gamble? Like, why do that? Just play it safe. Play it safe.
People don't want to do that.
I'm noticing. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, going on in the news nowadays. And, you know, I'm not even going to really, like, get into the topic of it. But, like, I'm really not. But I am going to speak on it briefly before we jump into it.
Uh-huh.
Once again, as always, and I feel I have every right to say it as always, because it always seems like there's a white cop or white cops shooting black people. And I think that this is, like, the norm. I think this is just what they do. I mean, we can all sit there and say that, oh, well, the media is playing a part of it. I'm sure the media is, but at the same time, the media is just reporting the news that they choose to report. I mean, hey, there could be Latinos, Filipinos, or other people out there getting shot by police as well, but it always seemed like the majority of it is black folk.
Right.
Especially black men. And see, I remember one time somebody that's in law enforcement called me, oh, it's either you're pro-criminal or anti-law enforcement. And I'm saying to myself, because I kind of really didn't want to hurt his feelings at the time. But my whole thing is, just because a cop does something wrong, that doesn't mean I'm pro-criminal or anti-cop. I am not anti-cop. I am not anti-law enforcement. I work around a lot of law enforcement people. I have respect for the ones that have restraint and have to deal with the bullshit, whether it's politics on their job or it's politics in the streets. I have respect for those who can micromanage and control themselves in certain situations. To those who have seen the body camera footage, there was obviously no control whatsoever. And whatever lawyer is going to prosecute, you have the win, but it's obvious that the laws and the jury are really probably going to wind up saying, oh, the officers didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Right.
Even though, I mean, I don't see how you, I really don't understand for the life of me how you, you're in the yard, it's dark, and all of a sudden you scream gun and start shooting.
Right.
But, you know, but of course somebody in law enforcement would say, oh, you don't understand procedures and protocols. Listen, that's not procedure and that's not protocol. Do not think that everyone doesn't know the legalities of things. But then I love when somebody says, oh, well, you're not a cop in that situation. No, I'm not a cop. But I tell you one thing, I do carry a firearm, and I know that there's accountability that comes with behind it when you pull that trigger. So you better know what you're doing.
Right, absolutely.
When it comes down to rules and regulations with the NRA, listen, I know those too. Dude, it was a bad situation, and I'm going to say it was a bad shoot. I don't care what anybody else says. Does anybody else have something to say? No, listen, we will do a show on it. Call the numbers 347-324-3395, even though this is not our topic for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge anyone to sit there and say that was a good shoot. It was not a good shoot. And then on top of that, it was insulting to the deceased to make it sound like he was still alive. You've just pumped 20 rounds into him. He's dead.
Right, absolutely.
You know.
Unbelievable.
And I find it amazing that it's always white police officers. It's always white.
And that's
like,
what
you know. You can't sit there and shake your head. It's an obvious double standard, and to me, it's just the obvious hunt. It's no longer some type of coincidental thing. It's a hunt.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, it's scary. It's damn scary. And like I said, you know, it makes you think back to years ago with Amadou Diallo. The same thing. All he was trying to do was pull out his wallet and let the officers know, I live here. This is my home.
But you know what? They turn around and the first thing they want to say is, you know, make sure you get home, make sure you get home, make sure you get home. Listen, everybody wants to get home at the end
Absolutely.
Of the day. I want to get home too. But real talk, be smart about it. Because unless you have value for no life, then you need to pay attention more to what you're doing. Especially, once again, in the body cam footage, he said, oh, let's hit him with a non-lethal. He wasn't moving for over 5 minutes. You're sitting there calling out to a corpse. Because he was dead. You're calling
Absolutely.
Out and said, sir, we can't help you if you don't let us know if you're, what do you mean? What is there to let? How could he let you know anything when it's dead?
Exactly.
How?
Exactly.
And then when it goes to court, or not even goes to court, then his girlfriend has to probably watch this stuff on social media or the news, or then his two sons.
Right.
Have to,
right.
Two sons. Have to, you see, you're not, you see, you know, my problem is you're not shooting that cat that is shooting at you. You're not you're not murdering these thugs out here that's doing other shit to
actually
other people.
Actually doing something, exactly.
It's like you're killing kids and you're killing people who have their kids in the car or that they're good people.
Right.
You can say what you
all
want to say about
all of them because you feel threatened or you think that person is a threat. Just because of what you've seen or what you hear or what you see in other people, you think that, oh, yeah, all the young black men are threats. They all, you know, all got issues. They're all angry. They're all, no, you can't keep grouping them all just like they don't want to all be grouped as racist. Oh, you can't group. We're all not racist. Okay, so then stop grouping all these young black men as the same thing or just black people in general.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. See, when they go back to there and fear, you know what? I do believe they're scared. That's why they need that's why they need their guns, because there's no equalizer. You can't overpower us physically. So what do? Is you use the gun. Yes, I said it. Brother B said it. Apparently, you are scared. That's why the gun laws and certain gun rights and advocacy groups, like certain things, will just never change, because there are people out there feel they need their guns because they're either waiting for a war or they want to cause some type of war or they just want to be a part of a war. They want to live that Rambo life. Listen.
Right.
To those two cops, I mean, I'm going to say it, because people say, oh, well, you don't know. Listen, no, I don't know. But like I said, at the same token, I have to say, yes, I carry a firearm for work. And at any given time, I know that I may have to give my life for someone or I may have to take a life. I don't want to do either. But you know what? That's what training is about. And it's obvious if no one ever knows what will happen when the time comes. But a situation like that, they had the tactical advantage. They didn't have to shoot him.
Right.
They didn't have to shoot him. But all you heard was gun, and they started shooting. No one assessed the situation at all. Someone just screamed gun, and then they started shooting. I think the body cam, like I said, it's a noose to hang both of them. It's a noose to hang both of them. But like I said, we're just going to leave that one alone right there. If you have anything else to say, Big Red, to end it off, then cool. But
definitely
otherwise,
when we have our topic on that, I will have much more to say.
Yeah, all I can say is, you know, to everybody out there, whatever ethnicity, especially black, protect your sons, protect your daughters, because it's obviously ain't no place safe. Whether it's the backyard, whether it's the playground, there's no place safe. You know, some people don't want to call a spade, but you know what? Your card has to get pulled. The system, I don't know what the hell is wrong with it, but then again, I do. The system is not for us. The system is not for the people. The system is not about being fair unless it's fair to it, who it wants to be fair to. Our topic tonight, parents versus the state, who has more rights. I'm starting to see like a disturbing situation going on when it comes down to like the state or the government coming into people's homes and telling them what to do with their children or telling them how your family should run. And from a person who has had personal experience with this, I'm just going to say to government, state, whatever, I don't care, you're out of fucking control. Unless you pop these kids out, you know what I'm saying, there's no reason for you to tell everyone. Maybe there's certain people out there, but you need to come up with better guidelines to find those certain people who have the issues in terms of what's going on in their home and how they bring up their kids or what they should say to their kids or what they should do with their kids. Because I think they're reaching a little bit too far, and it's gotten to the point where that's why kids are out here are doing all types of crazy shit, because the parents can't be parents anymore.
Nope.
You can't beat your kid. You can't discipline your kid.
You can't yell at him.
Can't
do nothing.
Or they will. Yeah, exactly. So once again, whatever everybody, this is the menu with Big Red Brother B on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. We are on Facebook. Mind Your Mental, the menu. Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. So, what's up, Big Red? Talk to me.
Well, in terms of you just can't do anything. Like, this is why these kids are they are out of control. That's why a lot of them are out of control, because they know that they can go and say something and it could be something minor and it'll turn into a big deal. And these are things that are supposed to happen. Like, you're supposed to be on punishment because you know, because you did something wrong in school, or you didn't do a particular thing that you were supposed to do, or your parent asked you to do. You're supposed to get in trouble for that. What made it where it's to the point where you're not supposed to get yelled at, or somebody's not? Now, once again, I'm not condoning somebody beating the hell out their child to a bloody pulp. I'm not condoning that. But, yes, it's a thing called, like I said, we got beat or spanked or yelled at or cursed at and all of that. But that didn't make us go out and do anything crazy, because, you know what, we knew better. And I believe that's why there's a lot of, like I said, not even just, I'll say for all children, this is why there's a lot going on with these children, because They're angry because of what? Because you couldn't play a video game? Because your mom didn't let you go to your friend's house? Because you couldn't do something that you want to do? So you get angry, you let it fester, and then this is where we get the mass shooters. This is where we get these kids coming to school and they bullying other kids, or they beating up other kids, or they're doing other things. It's like, and then they know that all they have to do is, oh, I'm going to go tell somebody. Go and tell whoever they're going to tell, or they'll say something to one of their friends, and then the friend may say something to some. It's like a cycle, and the next thing you know, you got somebody coming to your door, knocking on your door, or calling you up, or the principal, oh, well, we need to see you. For what? Because he couldn't play a video game, so I have to come and see you, and then we need to speak to. No. We ain't doing all of that. It's just very out of pocket, out of hand, because these kids are really out of hand now.
Yeah, they're out of hand. And, you know, I'm going to touch on something that just happened recently. And it is a father's nightmare. It's not to say that it doesn't happen to, you know, the baby mamas when, you know, the baby fathers or whatever have girlfriends, but it seems more times you hear it on the other end. And you know, I really have to speak on this, because this was a failure, an absolute failure on the side of the system, where in Euclid, Ohio, Sierra Day and Dante Lewis were charged with aggravated murder and the death of Ayanna Day. Now, mind you, the father was fighting for custody. He was trying to get custody of his daughter because he knew that there was something wrong. He knew that was something going on. And what's crazy is you hear the reports of, you know, because everybody wants to cover their ass and say, oh, well, we went into the home and saw everything was fine. So let me ask you something. If you went to the home and saw that everything was fine, how did this happen?
Exactly.
aren't you trained professionals? Don't you go to school and get degrees? Don't you study? You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to know what the hell is going on. So how did this 4-year-old get killed by the mother and her boyfriend?
Exactly.
There was no there was no signs of anything whatsoever that you that person detected. Listen, I wasn't in the house. I'm not the social worker. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, we do all have, I mean, some people work on it, some people don't. Some people try to cultivate it, some people don't, but I believe we all have a sixth sense. And if you can't kind of look beyond the material and kind of feel out a situation, like you don't feel anything is wrong, then in cases like this, maybe you just shouldn't have that job.
All right.
Because there's no way in the world you can just walk into a house and, you know what I'm saying, and think that everything is 100% perfect. If you look at the kid just didn't give any indicators that something was wrong. You think through everything that the father was saying was just bogus?
See, those type of things, that's when they need to intervene. But that's the thing, that's when they don't intervene in things like that. They want to get the little petty stuff. But with stuff like that, they don't intervene, or it's too much, or they figure, oh, I have a caseload of the same thing going on. You know what? I can't be bothered with this. I'm just going to go. Because some of them, they are very, you know, no offense to anyone that works in that field, but a lot of them are very lazy. And maybe it's because they have their overworked, underpaid. Maybe they have a whole bunch of caseloads, but these are children. And once again, you took this job. Just like you said, you went to school, you took this job. This is the job that you took. If you're just doing it for the money, then you need to get out of that, because that's not what it's about. You're doing this to save children from things like that happening.
Yep.
It's no way in hell you went into that home several times, or supposedly several times, because you know a lot of them don't do their home visits. They'll say that they didn't just write it out and say, yeah, I went to this home visit. Okay, because I've heard of things like that happening where they don't actually go to the home visit. They just say that they went there, but they actually didn't go. So there's no way you can say that you – and if the father is telling you what's going on, once again, now on his part, how does that make how do you do that? How do you have this man coming to you now? What do you think, he's just lying, or he's just a bitter baby father, so he's just making up stuff? No, this is a man that has a child, and men and women, any parent, man or woman, has an instinct. They have something in them that tells them, listen, something is not right. We all have it. You have something in you that's telling you something ain't right. It's like, no, something has to be done. So you just took this man and and just said, okay, yeah, we're gonna tell him that we went over there, or we're gonna tell him we investigated. Now his child is not here anymore. So now, what in the hell? What are you gonna tell this man? What possible explanation can you give this man? It is no explanation, because his child can't be brought back now.
Nope.
So when they need to do something, they don't do what they're supposed to do. But then they take the easy. They figure, oh, well, this is easy. Oh, this child said this. Oh, we just go there and talk to the parent. It's like they want to just take the easy road out. I'm not saying that all don't do their job. Once again, it may be possibly because a lot of them are over, you know, they have so many cases because it's so many cases of this going on, of, you know, child abuse or neglect or anything. It's so many, but you have to do your job. And then, once again, that's the problem. It's like a pecking order. So now, that's the thing. Everybody's going to come down on the worker, but what about the people that's above them? That they have to send these cases off to, because they also have to look at these cases. What about the people that's above them that also neglected, you know, doing what they're supposed to do on their part?
Basically, shit rolls downhill, and somebody has to take the hit.
Exactly, and that's the sad part about it. The worker has to take the hit, but once again, what did the higher ups do? Or what are they doing? Or what did they, you know, before this even happened? Like I said, they have to look over these cases as well. But they know, just like you said, they know that, oh, no, the worker's going to get the blame for it. Nah, you know what? Let it just go. Whatever happens is all on so-and-so. And that's a bad system there. That's horrible. That is a bad system and a bad way to think when you're talking about children.
You're right.
Children that can't defend them. The children can't. They're like, you know, if they're old, you know, if they're older, that's different. You know, they have a little way where they can kind of, you know, defend themselves. With 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 2-month-old children, this don't make no sense that these children are being killed at the hands. And then, you know, I just get so disgusted because, like I said, these mothers, I don't know what is wrong with these women. And, you know, that's what it is. And I have to say that it's the women. It's like, what is wrong with these women? You are that damn desperate for a piece of penis. Excuse my language, but I'm going to have to say that. You that desperate for this piece of penis not to leave you and this other stuff that you put your child in danger?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, like I said, it happens with men, too. With men and these girlfriends.
But not
some
as
these girlfriends
often,
don't like
you don't
kids.
Hear it as much.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know.
Because dudes ain't playing that. When it comes to their children, they ain't playing that. But women, women don't, they just don't, they don't think, and I don't understand why, like we living in this age, like it's too, like, come on, you can't be that lonely.
Yes, and that's the thing, I don't really understand, for the life of me, first of all, I don't understand how you can kill your own kid.
Exactly. Like, how?
I don't understand how you can kill your own kid. Secondly, I don't understand how you can sit back and watch somebody else do that. I don't understand how you can do that to a child. Point blank and period. You know, I understand there has to be certain rules and things put in place. There has to be some type of overseer, but I really don't understand what type of overseer there has to be for the family, even though the family structure, the home, is just being broken down by society because society seems to shun family structure, you know, unless maybe it's in certain homes, but they really just don't support it. I really don't understand, like, how do you... I mean, this reminds me of a case that was in New York years ago, and it was on the front page, where a little girl was found dead in the closet. There's too many cases of ACS, whether they're front page or small little articles, of people in these agencies dropping the ball, and these kids are slipping through the cracks. Now, mind
right.
you, what you just said was on point. A lot of them be like, I have like 50 caseloads, and I have like 100 kids to go see, and I can't see them all. My supervisor said I got to do this and this, I got to do that. So you know what?
Yeah, they have a
what
quota.
Is the purpose? Yeah. So what is the purpose of this agency if you cannot fulfill your duty? Then what is your purpose?
Right. Exactly.
Just like you go to any job, because your job will tell you, hey, listen. If you can't, my job tells me, hey, if I can't pass a physical, I can't work.
Right.
Because you have to be fit for duty. So my whole thing is, if you can't do your job, what is the purpose of your agency? What is the purpose of your job? If you can't protect the kids, don't take on something that you know you can't handle.
Exactly.
If you're an agency of 500 and you have to take and you have to watch of 1,000 kids and you can't handle it, then maybe you just shouldn't be doing it. Maybe there just should be something else put in place, because apparently what's going on is not really working. And then on the flip note, you got parents who are good, who are decent. Their kids go to school, and yo, I've had at least three people that I know, I can think of right now, that told me that the kid went to school and the teacher saw something and said, what is that? Oh, my mommy beat me, or my mommy did, or my daddy did this and that. And next thing you know, the teacher called ACS or whoever, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, the parent was, like, being questioned.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait. You? They called you to question you. Yeah, because he had a little, he had a mark or something like, or he just said, or she just said, oh, well, my mommy got angry and beat me, or my daddy got angry and tapped me on the hand. Yo, let me tell you something. To all you newfangled parents, to the system, whoever, listen, like you said, Red, we used to get our asses beat on a regular. I remember my father had, like, the thickest belt. Like, years ago, they used to make real quality belts.
Like, real like, quality, yeah.
It was just like a cow with a buckle on it. Because it would just seem like it was the whole damn skin of the damn, it was just thick.
Right.
And I would get my ass whipped with that thick-ass belt. And while I was getting whipped, I was thinking, yeah, I won't be doing this again. And after, when I was waiting for the pain to subside, I was thinking about, yeah, I will never do that again. Or
right.
let me change my life, or let me think about how I'm moving in this world. Like,
you,
you know what I'm saying?
Let me change my life.
Like, you had your ass whipped. But
right.
It's not, and it was like, all right, back to business. You were punished. You were punished. Okay.
Right, like you still,
so,
as long as you know, you're still able to walk and you're breathing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. I mean, you were not able to sit down for a little while.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You had to walk it off for maybe an hour. But, you know, hey, it's like you really thought about, like, damn, I shouldn't have did this or shouldn't have did that. Now, these kids, yo, listen, how many times do we see people who are kind of like non colored, and you better stop that. Listen, I was in a supermarket one time, and it always seemed like in a supermarket, little kid doing something crazy. Oh, I want this. Oh, you can't have that. And then they just plop on the floor. Throwing stuff off the shelves. Like,
yeah.
Really? But then you always see a black or Hispanic mother in the corner like, yo, that ass would have been whooped on camera.
Exactly.
They would have had to put it on the news. Like, yo, that ass would have been, you're not going to do that to me in the street. Or you would just get that look, and it was like, okay, you know you got to go home with me, right?
Right, exactly.
We'll talk then. Like,
but now it's the upper hand. They have the kid, but that's the thing. Now the state has the children having the upper hand, and like I said, all you got to do is do the wrong thing, and they like, oh, when I go to school, ma, she hit me. Oh, I got a bruise on my arm. They just gonna have to say something over the teacher. Oh, well, where'd you get that from? Oh, my mommy hit me yesterday. Next thing you know, you got a phone call, Miss So and So. You got to come. Like, it's ridiculous. They know that these children know. They're not stupid. They're smart.
Oh yeah.
They're smart. They're very smart. But once again, don't let it be for a petty reason, like I said, because you got hit because you couldn't get what you want. You have children out there that are really getting abused, that are really, like I said, children are losing their life.
Yep.
You don't have time to play that type of game, or you shouldn't be playing that type of game, because, like I said, you have children that are out there losing their lives, and you know, because these people have so many, I guess, like I said, the caseloads or whatever, and that's fine. But you know what? Hire more people. I see it all the time where I see that they have that opening for ACS, like the opening for that particular, that particular job. I see the opening for that. So why is it that these people still have all these caseloads? Why is there so many people that have so many caseloads? Why are there so many cases of child neglect and abuse? Why are there so many cases of that in 2018? Why do we still have that many cases?
Because
we're living in a different day and age now. It shouldn't be that many cases of that going on.
This is true. But now, even with that, how is it that, now, you know, I did a little bit of research here and there, and, you know, semi-research, I should say. I didn't do it as fully as I wanted to because I've just been having a lot of stuff on my plate. But my thing is this. All right, so let's talk about this transgender thing. Because it seems like, you know, the government and the state are very pro, like, oh, well, you can't do this and you can't say that and you can't, these people have rights and this, this, that, and the third. All right, listen. I don't have a problem with anyone doing them. But what I do have a problem with is when you try to force your shit down my throat. Then we have a problem. Because I don't sit there and try to force my blackness and the atrocities that have happened to all black people down your throat. So I don't see why you're trying to force your shit down mine. Now, once again, I don't have a problem with anything, but when you have laws or things that or bills they're trying to pass where the government or state agencies are like, well, okay, so if this child feels like a boy, if a girl feels like a boy today, or they feel like they're male, then they can use the male bathroom. No. Or, you know, because we kind of touched upon this before, or, you know, if the boy feels like, you know, or he feels feminine or he feels like a girl and he wants to call himself Susie, then he can do that. First of all, these are kids. These are kids. How do you... these kids are young. They don't know this. They don't know anything. So who are you to? Who are you or who are we to expose them to other possibilities other than, oh, you don't have to just be a girl, or you don't just have to be a boy. Oh, I don't have to. What else can I be? What? You can be anything you want. If you,
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? But you, so with that being said, if you're telling a little boy that he doesn't have to be a boy, he can be a girl. So that means if another little kid come along and say, I can be a plant. What are you going to tell that kid? He can't be a plant?
Right.
So what are they going to say? Exactly. It's not physically possible for you to be a plant. Well, technically, it's not physically possible for you to be a boy if you're a little girl.
Unbelievable.
But this is the thing I don't get. Where are you protecting the children at? Where are you sticking? Where are you defending the children at? Like I said, I don't have a problem with anybody doing what they want to do. But you don't just take a child who doesn't know anything. It's just like you're taking a piece of clay and molding it to what you want it to be. You're not allowing the child to grow to be what they want to be.
Right. Exactly.
Children are so fickle. One minute, oh, I don't like string beans. Next minute, oh, string beans are good if you put a little bit of butter on it. Wait a minute, I thought you ain't like string. Well, I like them with butter. I just don't like them without that. So you're trying to say, oh, well, yeah, I like this doll, but I still want to be a boy. Oh, no, you like dolls, so that means you're a girl. Don't push it. Let the kid choose.
Right,
let the
exactly.
kid grow into being what they want to be. And you making these laws and saying, oh, well, we have to protect them. Really, you can't even protect the ones that are dead in the closet or getting beat by their goddamn mothers and boyfriends. So who are you really protecting? Who are you doing this for? What are you doing? Like, yo, it is so backwards out here. And, of course,
yeah, it is.
You know, somebody is listening and saying, oh, they're anti. You know what? Shut your dumb ass up. I ain't anti any. You know what I am? I'm anti ignorance and I'm anti stupid.
Absolutely, exactly. I was just ready to say that. Absolutely, that's what I'm anti ignorance.
You can't. Like once again, it is ignorant. to turn around and not let a child be a child. That type of pressure of what they want to be or who they want to be, that's too much to put on them. Let them grow. Let them figure it out on their own. We as adults should not be trying to say, oh, well, I really wanted a baby girl. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call this boy a girl. And I'm going to raise my boy as a girl. I mean, come on. You have situations out there where there are adults wearing diapers talking about they feel like a four-year-old. Yo, okay. Somebody really needs to pump the brakes on these situations because it's really getting out of control. 5891, you're on the air with the menu. What's up?
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, dog. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, this still, man, this listening to the show on a Sunday night, man. What's going on? What's going on, Brother B? What's going on, Big Red? How y'all doing?
What's up? What's going on?
It's a Sunday night, chilling on a Sunday night. Man,
I need me a beer.
I definitely could use a cold one. With all the stuff that's going on now with what you guys are talking about, listen, I'm no parent. I'm going to be honest about that. But, however, when it comes to parenting, you know, it's what's that saying? Bear the rod, spare the child.
Yeah.
You see, I'll tell you. I'll explain this to you. See, I come from a Haitian family, and one thing about Haitian parents, they carry that saying very heavily. Let's just say, you know, when you did something wrong, you paid for it. Well paid for it.
Yeah, your ass was whipped.
Your ass got whipped. I could say that. Mom whipped my ass. My dad whipped my ass. I got out of line. Yeah, I'm getting it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the reason why they would do it to you is because they to make sure, not to abuse you, but to see to it that it never happens again. If you broke something in the house on
purpose.
Grandma's
was whipping ass.
Oh, hell yeah. And you know what? Even they even give the neighbors permission to whoop your ass if you got out of line. So that's how I grew up. And that's how I grew up with that discipline because you know what? They weren't playing that. You did something wrong, you pay for it. You fought in school, they don't care who started it. You got home, the teachers were called, got home, you got your ass whooped.
Sure, you used to try to get home before the teacher called.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I watched like one cartoon because you know after that there was no more TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because listen, one thing I had to learn, even fighting back against bullies, but then after I got into a fight, like, I didn't raise you like that. I raised you, okay, yes, you could stand up for yourself, but I didn't raise you like that. What you going to do, walk around using your fists and stuff? I'll show you what's up. You got home late?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I was out with my friends. Well, I'll show you who your friends are.
Exactly.
I even have friends of mine. There was a friend of mine who got his ass whooped. You know why? Because his brother was getting the ass whooping, and he was laughing. And his mother turned around and whipped him.
That's how it was.
Yeah.
That's how it was back in the day. But now these days, you have a lot of these laws that protect children. I understand that children are abused, but yet I do blame the agencies for letting it fall through the cracks. I'll get to that later. But, however, with these laws, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, are parents becoming more lenient towards their children?
But you know, that's it, K-Dog. I think that parents are backing off because of the laws. Like, because they don't want to go to jail. Because, I mean, listen, I know somebody, I haven't seen him in years or whatever, but I remember he told me that he got locked up because his daughter, who was in kindergarten, went to school, and said that, oh, my daddy hit me. And the teacher called, and next thing you know, he said, they came to my house, I was in jail. And I was like, yo, what are you talking about? It's like, this kid was like 5 years old, 6 years old. Didn't really understand what they were saying or knew the ramifications, you know what I'm saying, of what they did. But the kid was just basically saying, yeah, like my daddy spanked me or something. And someone felt the need to say, oh, no, they're not supposed to do that. And the next thing you know, they're calling the authorities, they're calling this person. And then he said, like, yo, I got locked up.
You know what's sad about that case? Because you know what? A lot of these kids, they see what's going on, and they talk to other kids. They say, oh, you know what? They have a thing that if your mommy or daddy hits you, you could call the police.
And young saying that.
Of course, they start off young because you know what? There was a guy that I know. This kid did something terrible. Came home late from school, and the kid was being unruly. So he did what he did. He did what he did to the kids. He did what he did to his son. Beat the living daylights out of him. But then this kid goes to the school and reports that, oh, his father hit him. And what they did to that father was they came. The police came. The police left. He wasn't home at the time, but when he came home, he saw a note behind his door. So he said he went to the police precinct, and they were like, oh, is your name so-and-so? Oh, yeah, you're so-and-so, right? Oh, you're under arrest for child abuse. He's like, what? He said that they came and they handcuffed him. He spent, like, I think a night and a half at Central Booking.
Wow. That's crazy.
He was just devastated. This is the thing I don't get. So once again, they do this saying that they're protecting the children. You're not protecting the children.
Nope. You're giving
because
the children.
You know what's
life.
Crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, but then on top of that, so then what happens when the parent goes to jail? And where does the kid go from there? Does the kid, stay in the home, or what do they do? They put the kid in the system.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
In his case, he was lucky because the kids were able to stay with their family, and they had to go through a whole court system for days to get the kids back. But you best believe that son wasn't living with him no more. He was like, I don't want this kid living here. He's a troublemaker.
But now, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at the rift. Look at the rift that has been caused. Look at how it just broke apart the family.
You're afraid
to be around your whole. You're afraid like your kid did something, really not understanding what they did.
Right.
They may know, but they really don't know the ramifications of what they did. So then you turn around, this happens, and the next thing you know. Listen, I can't lie. Honestly, if my kid was to do that, dude, me and you can't live together no more. We can't be under the same roof no more because I can't trust you.
Right. Yep.
Like, you thought it was okay to go tell somebody that I beat you and you're mad, so you had me locked up.
Right.
Like, me locked up is not a joke.
No, it's definitely
not
a joke.
Now the system is in our business. The system is in our home.
And then that's on that person's record. That's going to be on their record.
Yeah. Permanent record.
Exactly. Permanent record. But what happens to the other kids that need to be raised in the house? So that means the system is going to be like, well, we got to watch all the kids now. So it just disrupts the cycle of the home. It disrupts the family. But then what does this guy do? And we really can't fault him. He says, yo, I can't rock with you no more. Like, I can't.
No, I can't.
I gotta distance myself away. Because you know what I'm saying? You just got me locked up because you were mad about such and such. You know what? That's okay. I'll stay away from you. And because, you know, the kid's going to regret it. We already know the kid's going to regret it. That's why I don't understand why there aren't people sitting down with these kids saying, listen, You say your father hit you, or you say your mother beat you, they spanked you. Were they doing it because they were angry, just because they were angry, or did you do something? See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
exactly.
What is the line of questioning? Or do you just start throwing the cuffs on people?
Right, exactly.
And start,
right.
And start locking people up just
and
to make it some
problem.
Type of quota.
Because
you know what?
Like, you're not hearing
it
from the parents. They're not even trying to hear the parents' point of view, because according to them, oh, well, the parent is abusive, or the kid is scared. Listen, you know what to do? Here's how to best the situation. Put both the kid and the parent in the room and have the parent explain why they have to beat their kids.
Well, then they won't do that. You know why? Because they'll feel that the parent is intimidating the kid and the kid is going to say something, you know, because they're scared of the parent.
But not only that, but see, they're trying to also save face because of all of the incidents that's happening or been happening within the last couple of years of these workers, like I said, supposedly going in for these home visits, and they're just chucking it off. Oh, we didn't see anything wrong. We didn't see anything wrong. So instead of them trying to do an investigation or try to get in deeper, they're like, all right, you know, just lock the parent up, and we'll sort it out later. No, that's not how we can handle that.
I'm glad
and
that
and
you said that.
You know what? Real quick,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Real quick,
yeah.
And see, the police, when they get involved, their hands are tied, because they said, "Listen, they just told us we have to lock you up. Like we don't care what you did to a degree, because we don't know what you did. We just know that they said this, and now you broke the law. They said you broke the law. We enforced the law, so we have to lock you up."
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
But you know what? I do have to blame some part of the system, especially when it comes down to protecting children, because how many children fell through the cracks when the children showed signs of abuse? When you had teachers saying that this child has not been in school in such and such a day. Perfect example. Do you remember the case of Nix Mary Brown?
Yep.
That little girl went through hell. And the ACS failed. They let her slip through the cracks. I mean, they saw there was actual proof of abuse in the home.
Right.
At the hands of not her biological father, but her mother's boyfriend.
Yep.
It all fell through.
Remember that all too clear.
That poor little girl. It was a tragedy what happened to her, and at the hands of her mother's boyfriend. And all of the evidence was there, but the ACS turned their backs on it. But yet, you're sitting there with kids who are being bad and they're lying about their parents being abusive, and meanwhile the parents are getting arrested. There's something going on. There's something wrong going on here.
Yeah, it's backwards. Backwards.
Yeah, it is.
But
it's going to stay backwards, because that's what the system. I don't think the system is about going forward. I think the system is about itself, and it's about putting us in a sunken place. I don't really think it's about making people happy. It's a system. So a system really is not built for you to thrive.
Uh-huh.
It's built for it to thrive, and people that profit off of the system. Or, you know, it's for them. Because if you look at it, the state gets funds from the government. So the more cases that you have, a certain incident, a certain thing, what happens? Oh, well, we need more money because this, that, and the third, and blah, blah, this is going on, that going on. So it's like, okay, well, we'll give you some more money to take care of this and take care of that. But things really never stop.
No,
you know,
the cycle really never ends.
And
I mean, like I was saying, like I was saying before, when it comes down to the thing of like transgendered and, you know, sex assignment and all that stuff, it's like, come on, man, let these kids
really.
Be kids.
That's it.
Like, who are you to assign? I mean. You know, you see it on social media, you read about it in the paper. how are you trying to really make this little boy a girl and vice versa? Why would you
and
do that?
You can't do that.
But once again, you have bills that are being passed, or you know they're putting them out there to be like, yo, we should have the right to do this. So all right, so I have a right to tell my kid, or to turn my kid, say you can be. Listen, you don't want to be a little boy. You don't have to be a little boy. But I don't have the right to discipline my child. Wow.
Right. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
So I can change. I can change my kid's sex, and you know what I'm saying. Like that, I can. You know, I can do all that stuff, but I can't discipline them when they do something wrong.
Right. And then they step in and want to have something to say about that.
Yeah, but now my thing is this: the question to you, Red. So let me get to you next, K-Dog. Do you see something wrong with that? You see something wrong with the fact where the system says, listen, you can do this, but you can't do that.
You can't
discipline your child, but you can turn your little boy into a girl. You can turn your little girl into a boy.
That is just crazy.
Of course I see something wrong with that. That's like, I don't understand how that's better than actually going after someone. I'm talking about going after somebody that's actually doing something to their child. Okay, you could let them change up what they want to be, but then, you know, when it comes to actually doing the job that you're supposed to do in terms of really investigating what's going on with something that's going on in a household, and you know that something is going on, but you just, you know, you totally ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's easier for them. Like, oh, well, they could just change their gender. That's easier. But when it comes to abuse, that's something that you have to really do, you know, hard work. You really have to dig into that. And I guess because they look at it as, you know, like there's a lot of false reports too. That's another thing that makes the job that makes that job kind of hard on. I'm not giving the workers any, you know, like an excuse or anything, but I think that what makes it hard on the whole system, because you have a lot of false allegations. You have people that will call up and say, oh, this child is being abused, and the child may not even be being abused.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
So you have false allegations going on, and then, you know, then it's like, then who do you believe? Like, who do you believe? Do you believe the parent? Do you believe this person that just, you know, because you got a lot of people that are very petty out there. Because guess what? I get those calls where you have a petty neighbor because they don't like their neighbor. They will sit up there and call, oh, I need the child abuse registry. For what, ma'am? What do you need it for? Oh, because I heard my neighbor, I seen my neighbor hit his or her child. Okay, well, that ain't none of your business. You don't know what they hitting that child for, but you have people that are very petty like that.
But see, what's crazy is they're turning around and say that you're not doing your job because you didn't report it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the thing is, what was I supposed to report? What did I see happening that I was supposed to report?
Exactly.
And that's the whole issue. Like, what was really going on for me to report or for me to talk about or for somebody to get locked up for? Like, what really happened? It's sad.
It's backwards. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then they wonder where a lot of these shooters, like you said earlier, Red, where are these kids shooting up schools and shooting up malls? Like, where did these cats come from?
Because they know they got the system on their side.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw a report where they were talking about the dude who shot up, who was sending everybody the bombs, sending people the bombs.
The Unabomber?
The guy, no.
The serial bomber in Boston.
Oh, they had a recent one that was doing that? Oh my God, where the hell have I been? I really didn't hear about that. I'm sorry.
Where you been?
I really didn't hear about that. Please enlighten me.
Yeah. He was sending. Go ahead, K Dog. You wanna put on? Wanna put on to the fact? K Dog.
Yeah. What up?
Yeah, you wanna put on to the? Well, no. In Austin, Texas, there was this guy who was sending bombs to people's homes. And but the media really don't want to point out like majority of them are black, but you know they don't want talk too much about that. But anyway, yeah, he was sending like mail bombs.
They were sending mail bombs and to several. They sent it to like I think two homes. What was one person killed? I think, and it was. And the recent one was at a FedEx depot, and what they did was that while they were closing in on him, he blew himself up. Young guy, he was about maybe 20 in his 20s or something.
Oh wow!
But wait a minute. So the I think the sergeant or whoever it was from the police, the Austin police, were like, he was a very challenged young man, and this challenged. He was challenged. Yeah. What do you mean he was challenged? He made bombs and he mailed them out. Or he said he was dropping them off places. What do you mean it was challenged?
Basically.
Right, so.
Here we go. Because if it was a black dude or a Spanish cat, oh, these savages. He's a terrorist. He's a super predator. All of this stuff when it came out.
Right, because you know what's so funny? I was watching little bits and pieces of the documentary, or I guess you could call it a documentary, about the Unabomber. That's why I'm like, that's when I said, when you said that, that's what I thought you were talking about. But it's like, they were talking about like basically they were talking about the investigation and the his behavior behind it. I guess you can say.
What behavior?
They were coming up with some crazy behavior. They were saying all the
things. Okay, so basically from what I'm gathering of the whole story, he was very smart, and he was kind of saying that made me kind of mad when he said, talking about it was his parents' fault is the reason why he did it, because his mother skipped him two grades ahead. So he was basically, he was smart. He wasn't dumb. He was smart. And he wasn't a spoiled, young man, because, he was a little older. This was back maybe like in the, 50s or something like that, 50s or 60s. He wasn't, like a spoiled young man, but when he said that, my mother skipped me two grades ahead, and I hated that, and I was mad at her for that. Are you freaking serious?
So you grow up and you become the
Unabomber. Yeah, you sent out bombs to people because your mother skipped you two grades ahead?
No, that's it.
I said,
what's going on?
Unbelievable. I said, you got to be kidding me. And when he said that, I was like, it was just amongst other things. Like, besides that, it was like, he was just a lonely kid. Now, mind you, he was the only child for a long time until his little brother came into the picture. He had a little brother, but he was a lonely kid at most of the time. Most of the kids thought he was weird. I guess that was because he was skipped two grades ahead. He would skip two grades.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just like sometimes you have to think into the mind of you have to try to think of how, I guess that's why they try to see why these people do what they do. But then this young man, you said he done blew himself up.
Me personally, I don't think it was him. I remember something saying that, they said they haven't identified who was in the car, but they believe or they suspect it was him. Okay. No. All the time. Like, you know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. My thing is, with them saying that, and all throughout all the reports of what, and they couldn't catch him, they were saying whoever this is he's obviously highly skilled and he's smart. And it's, when they start saying stuff like that, nah, son, they're going to give you a job. They're going to give you a job. Once they catch you, they're going to offer you a job.
No, you're not lying.
They're
going to
give him a job.
Yeah, they're going to give him a job.
Yes, they are.
And like, this is how you're going to pay back your debt to society.
Yep, that's true.
And you're going to do this
crazy.
And my whole thing is, he wasn't
welcome
challenged at all. He wasn't challenged. He was just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He was just.
You know,
just
he might not even been crazy. I think that you know, with people like that, like I said, we're watching that documentary about Unabomber. With people like that, they are smart. They're not even. They're smart to the point where they are crazy, but they're smart. Like, they're like that. They're smarter than their own good. That's what it is. They're smart, too smart for their own good. It's like
okay.
What's one of them villains from the Super Friends? From the Super Friends?
Mm-hmm.
The damn villain, he's smart as hell. He's just so damn smart.
He's smart and crazy.
He's so damn smart until he's damn evil. They don't be stupid. They be smart as hell. So I think that's what it is. He's too smart for so. But my thing is this. Now let me ask another thing. Now, when in terms of the state getting involved or getting involved with certain things when it comes to, you know, children, I'm going to say it like this. Why don't people get their children help? If they know that the children need help, why don't you go to the state and get the children help?
Oh, let me tell you. I was having a chat with some of my friends who are parents, and even my own mother said, she said, listen, as a parent, you should know your children. If you notice that your child has no verbal communication with you or anybody else, and the teachers are calling and saying, you know, your child is quiet. Your child doesn't talk to anybody. And even when they come home, they don't even look at you. Something, as a parent, you should know something's wrong.
Right.
Well, those are old school parents. New school parents really don't have time because they got to work to pay their $1,800 rent, and they on social media. They're too busy putting their ass up, doing dick pics and stuff like that. They're too busy. Oh, I got to do me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're just too busy for that. But wait a minute. Before I go any further, as a man of the hour, 3054.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Yeah.
It's time.
King Wakanda.
King T'Challa.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
What's up, Rod?
I'm too busy yelling at my daughter. Listen, either you go to bed or I'm going to tell your teacher to put you in the bed, okay? Because I'm tired of this, all right?
Don't do that. She'll go to school. She'll go to school tomorrow.
Exactly.
And turn around and you'll be in cuffs. Well, my daddy made me do this and then put his hand on my butt and push me in the bed. He put his hand on your butt. Didn't hear nothing else.
Right.
Didn't hear no other words.
Nope.
But he said he put his hand on my butt. Oh, my God. You're a child molester. We got to get him locked up.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, if I hit my child to go to sleep, well, there you go. Child abuse. Here we go. Case number one. Let's go.
It's a hot ride right on Channel 5 News. We're going to put right on Fox News.
Yep.
All I did was a cat.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be on the 6 o'clock news.
So be it. But to everybody's shocking statements, in the end, like Brother B said, like parents today are too busy doing this, doing that, social media, shaking ass, or out having a happy hour. I say why not the state take over? Let them do something, you know? I will never forget Mayor Bloomberg back then when, remember with the big soda thing of the cup size, and, you know, too large, it's too large.
Yeah.
Everybody was throwing a fit. Oh, the man cannot tell us what to drink. But we was going through a health crisis that with diabetes and everything. Somebody got to step up and like, listen, Brother B, you cannot drink a 40-ounce soda in one day. So, in other words, if Cavs are not doing their jobs, who should take over? The state, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Well, Hot Rod. Well, Hot Rod, this is one of the problems. So, you tell kids they can't do this. Meanwhile, you're cutting back funding for after-school programs. You're cutting back funding for community and resource centers where kids go and do other stuff besides stay home and watch video games. You're doing all these cuts. You're limiting the kids' access to even wanting to go outside. You're not doing much about crime or certain laws or even the gun laws, because you got parents that are afraid to send their kids outside because they're afraid for them to get shot. Yo,
yeah.
We all that age.
We need to understand. We need that money to build that wall to keep the Mexicans out of this country.
Oh,
we need to understand that. We need to spend money at other places.
No,
okay?
There you go.
We need to get our priority straightened. Education to youth is worthless now. Don't you get that? We need to put the money somewhere else. Come on.
Yep.
This is why I'm making America great again.
Yeah.
America was great. America was, well, it wasn't even America. This country was great before the pilgrims came. It was just fine.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like
it
the pilgrims they came and ruined it.
Yeah.
So when was it great? I mean, my thing is this. If you're going to deprive someone of rights or equal opportunity, then expect backlash. Expect something opposite to happen. But that's the problem. Everybody's looking, no one is really looking at that aspect of it. They just figure like, well, hey, if this goes wrong, then they'll just have to figure out something else. Sometimes people just can't figure out something else.
Right.
Like I said, you got single mothers, single fathers, two-parent homes, everybody's struggling.
Why do you think that happens now? Why do you think that's like the major problem
because
Big Red said a long time ago. Like, I'm sorry, before, like Big Red said a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of these problems today start from home.
Yep.
Well, I think it's, but you know what? But who was allowed into the home to change the dynamics of the home? Prime example.
The system.
Good times. Good times. I remember when Esther Rolle made it clear that she wasn't doing good times unless there was a father in the house, because the writers wanted to do it without the father. So it was going to be a single mother in the project, you know, with the three kids. She said, I refuse to do it. Okay. So they did it, but then what happened down the line? They wound
James
up killing
killed.
James off. Did
yeah,
you
they
notice
killed
how
off
the dynamics? Yeah, but did you notice how the dynamics of everything just changed? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
She had to go work, but at the same time, she became more reliant. You know, she became more just, you know, things change. You have to watch it. You know, we all watched it before, but I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. You watch it and you see for yourself. But she was different. When you infiltrate the home and you change the structure of it, what do you think is going to happen? The home,
chaos.
Everything's going to change.
It's
everything,
gonna be
everything's
chaos.
Different.
It's going to be all broken up.
Exactly.
It's
and
be
this
all
is the
broken up.
And this is the problem. The state and the government came into the homes and they wanted everybody, you're going to rely on us. You're not going to rely on a man to help you or the kid's father to help you. If you want housing, no man could be around and will give you housing. If you want this, you want food stamps, you can't have another partner in the house doing X, Y, and Z. So they made it as to where you had to break down in order for them to help you. They didn't say anything about, oh, well, we're gonna do this so you can learn to help yourself. We're just gonna make you reliant on the system.
Yeah, but that's changed because they make you they make people
basically
work for their checks now. That changed from when Clinton was in office. That's when the people have started working for their debt. They you get welfare check, you're gonna have to go to work now.
Hey,
but once again,
I'm sorry.
Well, but once again, what are you still doing? Like, it's no, like, all right, so you tell them to go get a little job to get a little bit of this. See, once again, they're still reliant. It's not like they're out there going to get a job paying more than $10 an hour. Listen, it's like, I'm going to give you this so you can do the minimum. That's what it is. You don't have to do the maximum.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you a little of this so you can do the minimum, and then you can keep relying on me, and then we can keep our dance going.
You know what? This is the basic.
We can keep you oppressed.
We could keep you down for as long as we want.
Exactly.
Well,
and
but,
there's nothing
to
do about it.
Well, I'm sorry. In the end, whose fault is that? If, technically speaking, the welfare system is supposed to help you get back on your feet, but people keep relying on them. I'm like, listen, I'm getting a free check every month.
Real talk, Hot Rod, you and I both know that there are people, and I ain't knocking anybody's hustle, but yo, listen, if I had a chance to get food stamps and stuff like that, yo, I would. Because, yo, the refrigerator would stay full. The refrigerator would stay full. Yo, we 9 to 5. Yo, listen, you see in the back of the fridge.
Look at the working poor. Just like you said, the 9 to 5. We are the working poor. Because guess what? You got people that have city jobs and they still are able to get food stamps.
That's working poor. No, I don't mind that. I agree. I condemn people that do it. Like, go ahead, as the ones that keep relying on the system and won't do anything about it. It's like, let me keep having more kids and collect another loaf of bread or another cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on.
Right. I understand that.
You know, no, if you guys want to work out the system, let's be honest. The Jewish people, they know the system and they work the system.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to tell. So, you know.
They do.
But that's the thing. It has to be. That has to happen. You know why it has to happen? Because they still have to keep getting money. The state needs the money. So if you have a certain percentage of this and a certain percentage of that, then it's like, yo, the state can say, well, we need this because we don't have this. And then the government says, okay, well, we'll give you X amount of dollars to do X, Y, and Z. See, you can't have a high success rate. That's the sad part about society nowadays. When you have a high success rate on certain things, it could turn around and screw you.
Because it will
stop your inability to get other things or to do other things. It's like if you're at work and you're a great worker and you're doing your job, do you think your boss really wants you to leave? So he's going to do everything in his power to make sure you don't leave. He'll give you whatever incentive that he can to keep you around so you can keep making money for him. But what about for yourself?
Yep, that's true.
What are you doing for you?
Exactly.
Well, I have a quick question, not to go off the topic too much. Excuse me, go off the topic too much. But talk about the state controlling kids. Do you guys have a problem teaching kids, young kids, like my son, 4 or 5 years old, anything about gays and lesbian or sex education at all?
I don't think it should be implemented. We didn't get it.
No.
We didn't get it.
But
they started younger and younger,
and I asked myself, why are you teaching my son, 5 years old, something about gay and lesbian? You know, isn't
because
that my job
society,
or the school job?
Because of the society that we live in now, these children know more than I do, and I am over 40, and these children know more at 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years old. Between 4 and 8, these kids know more than we probably all know. That's because it's not, nothing is sacred anymore. Things are out there, and they, like I said, some of these things are in the shows that they watch, the cartoons. They're seeing it, they're hearing it from their friends. Because once again, what your child may not know in your house, they may know in their house.
But see, but
some of them are walking around with mommy and daddy, okay?
But see, but that's a great issue. That's a great question that Hot Rod brought up, is the fact of, like, you shouldn't be teaching my child anything about certain things of a sexual nature. That's my job. When did it become your job? You're a teacher of education, and sex has nothing to do with this. Until they get into that realm of school, which is like junior high school or high school, where if they still do sex ed, you know, but that's all about the reproductive system. You know what I'm saying? But my whole thing is like, it's not your job. It's not your job to teach my kids certain things. It's not your job.
Oh, Brother B.
But you know what?
Brother B, you sound so homophobic right now. You sound so homophobic right now, Brother B. Come on.
And you know
we have to teach the kids about gays and lesbians. Come on, this is 2018, not 1974.
I'm
going to
say,
1974.
So wait a minute. So with that being said, what do the gay and lesbians teach them about everybody else?
Unity. Huh. That's the scary part about it.
Mm-hmm. You know what? But you know what's crazy? You really don't want to go there. Because if we had the time, we would. But don't talk unity. Because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody wants to talk unity and everybody wants somebody to rally for their cause, then I expect every gay, lesbian, transgender person in Sacramento, California, to be hitting those streets protesting about that boy getting shot 20 times. If you want to talk unity, take your asses outside and do it. That's unity. It's not unity when it's convenient to your cause. It's unity for every cause.
Every cause, exactly.
That's true.
Brother B, please don't get me started. I'm drinking already, okay? Thank you. Please don't get me started.
We ain't got much time. But I'm just saying,
we ain't got much time, man.
You can't pick and choose, you know, your fights and then want somebody to fight for you. How you gonna pick and choose, but then want somebody to join your fight?
Exactly.
Oh, today I'm gonna fight for this. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think I want to fight for that. Like I said, injustice for one. Listen, didn't Martin Luther King say injustice for one is injustice for all?
Yeah, but
yeah.
They don't
That's
see
right.
it like that because they feel that we've been in the closet all this time. Nobody accepts us. So you know what? We got to fight for our cause. We have to fight
check
for
this
our
out.
Own.
And you know what? And with that being said, homosexuality has been around for decades.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
Yes, it has been.
So once again, you're just fighting for some equality because you want to, you know, you're fighting to be recognized on the books. That's what you're fighting for.
And believe it or not, people don't realize the government, they love marches and protests. They don't realize that. Because the city makes money. Marches and protests create money. So if people want to go out and protest and march like yesterday, go ahead. Because in the end, they're making money. So to me, it's like, you know, like I said, I don't want to get into it too much. I will leave it for tomorrow night.
Yep.
It's a waste of time. But go ahead, Brother B. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. So, all right. Gary, Clyde, what's the deal with tomorrow, man? What's going on with the show?
Tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio at 10:30 with the Absolute Truth. We're going to talk about the March of Our Lives walkout because I'm screaming another walkout. The march yesterday because I'm sure Sean's for it. I'm against it. I'll explain why, but as a good point, we go march for that, for gun control, but like Brother B said, for Sacramento, for the young guy that got shot 20 times by the gun, we didn't see no big march about that.
Uh-huh.
So where is our priority? And can we? And how is Donald Trump in part of all of this that's going on today? With the marches, with sexual harassment. Can we blame Donald Trump on this? Or society?
Okay.
It's a lot.
We'll kick it tomorrow night. So with that being said, Hot Rod, K Dog, Big Red, thank you.
Thank you all for participating. And that's another episode
of The Menu in the Can. Everyone have a blessed night. Be safe and don't beat your kids or your monkey.
Whoa.
I have to beat your kids or your monkey.
Oh man, so everyone have a good night.
Good night. Later.
Good night, y'all. Peace out.
Later.
Later.